Want flexibility? Take yoga. Want flexibility with your health insurance? Check out United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly medical, dental, and vision coverage that may be right for you. More at uh1.com.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot. We charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Behaving badly, sometimes benevolently, sometimes doing all sex and that sort of thing and all. If you want to contact the show, contact me on the Patreon site as we share your spooky nighttime stories.
Line 3, we've got Gavin on the line. Are you there, Gavin?
Hi there, Quentin. How are you doing?
Hi. Now, look, this might be my supernatural skills, but something tells me you're Scottish.
That's right, yes.
Whereabouts in Scotland are you from?
In Glasgow.
Oh, I know. I've been to Glasgow. It's the city of culture, wasn't it, for a while?
That's right, yeah, in the 1990s.
Yeah, I remember that. Lovely. Is it a cultured place?
I would say so, yeah. It's got a Subway in it and a KFC.
That's culture. That is culture. Now...
The art galleries, Kelvin Grove art galleries.
Yeah.
I really like going to that, yes.
Yeah, the thing is, you're clawing it back now, but you did actually mean that when you said a Subway and a KFC as culture, didn't you?
Yes, that's right. I think that you're the first things that spring to mind when I talk about Glasgow.
And... the booze. Right. Tell me, what happened to you? Can I help you in any sort of way?
I was in East Kilbride, which is just outside Glasgow.
Right.
And this was 2005.
Right.
And it's been ongoing ever since. And it was a flat nearby where my mum used to stay.
Right.
This was an abandoned flat, ivy growing up the side of it.
Oh, my God. Hold on, Johnny, put the spooky music on. This is sounding scary. Ivy growing up the side of a house, yes?
Yeah, ivy was growing up the side of the house, and our cat, my mum's cat, had gone into the house.
Right.
And I followed it in with a torch and stuff. Right. It was creepy anyway.
Right.
Because it looked abandoned, and it was near enough condemned because you had a big scheme of fresh council houses next to this old house,
right.
Kind of maybe Victorian built house.
Right.
So I followed the cat in with a torch and crept in.
So can I just rewind? So just a second. You followed the cat into this Victorian house where your mum used to live?
It was the across the road from where my mum used to live.
Oh, okay. And so the cat went in and it was an abandoned Victorian house?
Yes.
Got it. Go on, shoot.
And I'd gone in, and there was slime all over the door handle.
Slime?
Slime.
Fucking hell. What, like what they did to those people at ZZ's in Salisbury? That was on the door handle, wasn't it?
That's right, yeah. There was something... It was definitely some kind of... I don't know, discharge of... I don't know if it was plant or something, but...
Human feces?
I don't know. It could have been... it could have been... I don't know.
Christ. I hope you didn't go to KFC or Subway straight after touching that.
No, it wouldn't be a good idea.
No, anyway, I digress. Go on, what happened? Shit on the doorknob, yeah?
Yeah, I put my hand in my shop to use as a glove to turn the handle.
I see. Yeah, very clever. That's a bit like Columbo or something, isn't it?
Aye.
Yeah, and you...
A tag up, seen as well in Glasgow.
There was a tag it on there as well, was there? Yeah, it does sound like human faces, yeah.
So, the cat had already gone in, and I'd gone in, and there was a light at the far end, and this was getting to about dusk, it was maybe about September,
yeah.
And there wasn't much light about. So, there looked like something furry in the shadows.
Furry?
Furry. The shadows.
Furry or funny?
Furry. Hairy, furry.
Furry.
In the shadows at the far end of this door with the light coming off it. So I said, Sandy is the name of the cat. And I said, here's Sandy.
Sandy.
Here you go.
Yeah, I see. Yeah.
And I brought the... And the cat came creeping out.
Yeah.
And had, you know, come up and was rubbing itself in my leg.
Right.
But the furry thing was still in the... Wherever it had been, this furry thing was still in the background.
Oh, Christ. Right?
I shone the torch on it.
Yeah.
I swear to God there was a small face, like an old woman's face, surrounded by hair.
Oh, Christ.
Like a kind of knitted... like a ball of wool with wires coming off it, or hair coming off it. And it scowled at me.
It what? Scowled?
Like a cat hiss.
Eh?
It scowled. Scowled.
Scowled?
Cried at me and or screamed, shrieked.
What
shrieked.
Did he say?
Scowled.
Yeah, what did he say? I got that scowled. The furry skin scowled.
Yeah.
What did it say?
It was just like, get out. It was something like that.
Oh,
crap. I ran as fast as I could. I collected the cat up in my arms and ran out of the door as fast as I could. I heard a kind of scuttling after me. And then the door slammed, and that was it. And but it definitely says it was like as if a cat or a really shaggy little animal with an old woman's face had been there and came out. And people have said in that part of East Kilbride there was a witch called Tibby. You can look it up.
What?
This is Tibby the Witch, and she was meant to have been hanged from a bridge in East Kilbride before they built it. And I think Milton Keynes and East Kilbride are the same architect. So, well, it looks all new.
Yeah, I know, yeah.
All new for the 70s. And they built over that bridge.
Yeah.
And they built our council scheme.
Yeah.
Our council houses over the top of that.
And you think...
And one of the houses that were there were maybe the manse houses of the clergy who'd...
Yeah, it wasn't Susan Boyle by any chance, was it? She's from not far from there, isn't she? She's from Torfigan,
right.
Isn't she? Where's she from, Livingston she lives, doesn't she, Susan Boyle? Sounds a little bit like her. Ball of wool, you know. Was she singing I Dreamed a Dream?
It was a nightmare, if anything.
Christ.
A nightmare.
Can I just make it perfectly clear, just I've got to do a disclaimer, that at no point has Susan Boyle, the popular singer off of TV's X Factor, ever smeared her own excrement on a door handle in East Kilbride. I want to make that perfectly clear. And at no point has she sat in a fuddy mess screaming and shitting herself in next to councillors. What was that?
Sorry, I accidentally... Accidentally laughed, sorry.
Oh, it's all right. I thought you shit yourself. Now, can I just say that was a bloody scary story? Johnny has stuck his fingers up and he's saying 8 out of 10.
Okay.
You go into the lead in the leaderboard. I'm calling that one Subo and the shit on the doorknob.
Excellent.
And
thank you very much.
Be forming part of my annual this year.
Thank you.
Yeah, that was extraordinary.
Thank you. thank you.
Has anyone else seen this Subo-style witch?
Her name's Tibby, and, yep, she's been seen in the recently, I think, you can look up, they filmed Outland, or Outlander.
Yeah.
The HBO or the Amazon series up there about a woman going back to the Highlands in Scotland. And I think the crew were filming in the woods. She used to practice her black arts in.
Christ.
And apparently Tibby was encountered there. Tibby's a real witch, and they apparently encountered her. So there's things where she's meant to, you know, that was the thing. I mean, I'd seen this thing and then gone back to talk to, you know, my English teacher at school, who said, yeah, around here, there are loads of legends and stories about Tibby.
Right.
And you can do a project on it, and I did.
I am going to look her up. Not Subo, okay. Tibby.
Tibby, yep.
And I'm going to look that up. And that is one of the best stories we've ever had, and it sent a chill all the way down to my bottom and round under my testicles. So I want to thank you very much, Gavin.
Thank you.
Great story. Good luck.
Thanks very much. Thank you.
Goodbye.
Goodbye.
Line two, I've got Vanessa on here. Vanessa, are you there?
I am, I'm here.
Where are you phoning from?
Newcastle.
Oh, lovely. Fucking the Tiny's all mine.
Yeah, Fucking the Tiny's definitely all mine tonight, yeah.
Yes. Is it foggy tonight and spooky?
It's not foggy and spooky, it's a bit cold and icy, but that's just because I live in an old house, Clinton.
Oh, and is that where these spooky happenings happened?
Well, they haven't happened in here. Not on. Yet. Right. I am always on a perpetual goose hunt, but yet to see anything, Clinton, I am a disbeliever.
A disbeliever?
A disbeliever.
Oh, well, maybe.
Are you going to prove me wrong?
Okay, my darling, tell me what you saw, and I will use my paranormal skills to set your mind at rest that it was indeed a ghost or not.
Perfect. Okay.
Shoot.
Right, well, we went, me and my husband, wasn't my husband then, just a lover.
Lover,
we went to Dunham Castle many years ago.
Which one?
Oh, well, he's the only husband now.
No, not the husband. Which place did you go to?
Went to Chillingham Castle.
Chillingham Castle featured in my podcast.
It did.
Go on.
And I think you saw the spirit, or you thought you saw the spirit.
That is correct. There's a bit of a mix-up over who was booked to do the ghost hunt, but go on.
Well, mix-up, or were the ghosts really there? That's what I'm going to say to you. So I did go on a bit of a ghost hunt myself.
Right.
Previously to that, I'd been to see the legend known as... Derek Acora. Didn't see much there in the city hall, going to be honest. A lot of smoke, a lot of white teeth and a white suit.
Yeah.
But not any spirit, Clinton.
He couldn't conjure up a fart, that bloke, but go on.
Yeah, so off we trotted anyway to Chillingham, thinking, we'll keep going with this, we'll see if the spirits are going to come.
Yeah.
So off we trot, Chillingham Castle, arrived there, expecting a lot of luxury, beautiful place, slightly dilapidated, is what I'm going to say.
That's right,
but yeah. We did have the biggest suite in the house, rather large.
Right.
But we got all ready, got dressed up. It was Valentine's night, went on the ghost tour.
Yeah.
Few sort of people there, obviously, as well. Valentine's doing the same thing. Had a meal. It did start with another couple playing Gabrielle across the table to each other.
Yeah, this is going on quite a bit. Can you get to the ghost bit, my love?
Yeah. So we're doing all of that, So then we sort of goes on the ghost tour.
Yeah.
Silence, darkness, flames. Everyone's a little bit scary.
Yeah.
Then nothing. I did hear someone say, is that something? But it was just someone taking the piss, basically, Clinton, out of the vet field. Nothing came. So we thought, all right, we'll leave this. We'll go back to the room and get the Ouija board out.
Yeah.
We'll summon the spirit.
Oh, yes. Now, this is more interesting. Go on.
Yep. So off we trotted.
Yeah.
Gets up to the room, gets the bits and pieces out. Me and my husband were playing it. And at the time, I had my friend Gail, who's contacted you.
Yeah,
This is probably why she's done it.
Yeah, just a second. What time's the last bus, Johnny? This is going on quite a long time. Carry on. Just stick the kettle on, will you? We'll be here for quite some time.
Yeah. Fingers are moving. She'd gone on the lash out in Newcastle, and what the spirit said to us is, and these were the only words that came through, Gail, go home, Lynn is loose. And that was the other friend who was out there. Now, what that means, I do not know.
Gail, go home. Lynn is loose.
Lynn is loose.
Was
now
she loose?
Now, you can read into that what you want.
Did she have trouble with her buttocks? Her bowels?
Well, she had trouble with stomach, but I tell you, the Spirits wanted to leave Newcastle City Centre immediately. So that was the first bit. So, but we'll keep
that's the first bit. There's more?
Oh, there's more.
Jesus
Christ. There's more.
Okay.
Slightly inebriated, I think, tripped over at air.
Sean, can you put some more coins in my parking? I think it's probably going to run out in a minute. Go on, carry on, yeah.
There was a bit of light flickering. Light flickering. The spirits are coming.
Oh, I'll just do this crossword while she's talking.
It was just a book. Lamp, it was boring. Shit. Nothing came.
Right.
But then, just to get the night going, he did appear with a sheet over his head and a rose in his mouth.
Someone did a shit on his head? What's that?
Well, he just put a sheet over his head and put a rose in his gob. And, like, tried to give us a fright, and it was just pathetic. It didn't work.
Yeah.
And that was it.
Right.
And that was all that happened. So I'm going to say to you, I'm a disbeliever. And Chillingham Castle is a lie, a filthy, rotten lie.
Well, after that, I'm pretty much a disbeliever and all. I'm disbelieving that you'd phone up to tell me all that. How much did that cost?
Just a pile of shite.
Pile of shite. Well, thank you so much for that wonderful call, Vanessa. I'm absolutely convinced that the spirits are alive and kicking, but maybe not for you. Don't be closed off. Don't be closed off in your mind. That's enough talking now. That's it. No more talking.
You wouldn't make a scam. You don't want to be skinned, Clint.
That's it. No more talking. We've done enough talking from you. Thank you. Turn it up, love. That's it. Good night. Still talking.
Tell about the coins.
Hey, what?
What? You just want to be skinned, Clint.
Good night.
Good night.
That's it. Good night. Thank
That's
you.
It.
That's
Come
it.
On,
shut up.
You're off, Clint.
Bye-bye. We're on line two. We've got a young lady. She's 8 years old, Anto. Is that right, Johnny? Her name's Bam Bam, and she wants to tell us something that's happened to her, is it, Bam Bam?
Yeah.
It happened to you?
So I was at the English National Opera.
Ooh.
And basically, we were a bit late, but I went with my friend Albie and his mum, Mary.
Yes.
And we went to the ghost story. Again, we were a bit late too.
You went to the ghost story, what?
Sorry, it was like this man that talks to us, that he said, like, that, like, ghost stories that happened at the English National Opera.
Yes, go on, very spooky place, go on, yes.
And apparently he said that this man and his girlfriend went to the English National Opera and sat on F8, that, like, and apparently he died in the war against France.
Yeah.
And when he was a ghost, he actually went back onto F8 to sit there because that was the only place he was happy.
You're joking.
Yeah.
You're telling me, a man, let's just get this straight, my love. A man died in the war.
Yeah.
And he returned to F8.
It was a row. And then, yeah, basically.
Yeah, I think we established that, my love. F8, the seat, in row F.
Yes. And I went on that seat, and the man told me that it was way colder there.
Did it feel colder?
Yes, it did. It felt, like, really colder. And I was like, are you joking me?
Yeah.
I thought he put, like, ice blocks under the seat or something like that.
And it felt colder?
Yeah, I looked everywhere and there was nothing to be seen. No, of sneakers or anything like that.
Right.
So
what? Sorry. Go on.
No, it's fine. There's just another story that I found.
Right, hold on. Let's get this one straight, first of all, Bam Bam. Can I just ask you this? It's a bit of a funny thing that, you know, this chap went to war. He saw all the horrors of war and that. And the one thing that made him happiest is sitting there and watching a flipping boring opera. God almighty, he's got no imagination.
Yeah.
God, I mean, if I'd been out, honestly, my love, if I'd been at war and having a sort of horrible, miserable time, the one thing, I mean, I'd be at Centre Parks or something, or at the cinema, or
Q or something.
Yeah, or in a Beefeater. Yeah. Having a steak and chips. Oh, if there's one thing I must do, get back on Earth and pay top dollar to watch a load of wobbling fatties. No, thank you. Right. What's the other story?
So the man told me he once was inside the they had really big windows there.
Right.
It was open.
Yeah.
And he heard a really, really high-pitched scream. And he thought it was a little girl scream.
Right.
Like, he told one of the crew...
And he said it's just the price of the tickets.
And the person said that's where a girl called Mary always cried when her on the balcony. She's a ghost now, but she always cried there because her boyfriend dumped her. So she would always cry there.
What, crying where, by the window of the...
In the balcony. There's, like loads of balconies. So he heard this high-pitched scream, and then the person said she was a ghost and stuff like that.
Yeah, stuff like that. Well, I've got to tell you that... That sounds like a very spooky place. Now, I don't know whether it's the Arts Council or somebody is trying to encourage us to go there by creating a sort of ridiculous history like this, or they just want to put people off going out to a blowy, coldy old opera house in London. But if I wasn't a specialist, that would put me off. I'd go and see Mamma Mia. I wouldn't go and see that rubbish. Do you like the opera?
There was a special kid thing on, so it was like cupcakes, candy floss.
Oh, now that appeals to me, but without the opera, yeah. That without the singing.
Yeah.
Oh, Bam Bam, thank you so much. Now, listen, don't have nightmares.
I'm not.
You sure?
Because I'm probably going to go there again, because we missed like half of the thing, so I might want to see it again.
Yeah. I think second time round it won't be so frightening, will it?
No.
Yeah. Are you sure this chap doesn't say that to everyone who sits on any seat there? Oh, A2, that's always haunted. Oh, look, M13, that's haunted. The very seat you're sitting on.
Yeah.
It could be, couldn't it?
Yeah, but I don't know why, he didn't tell anybody else.
I'd probably complain if I were you. Get your mum to write an email.
Yeah.
I want him sacked. Bam Bam, thank you very much.
Okay.
What a lovely, very, very well explained, very well expressed, well done, 10 points, gold star. See me.
Thank you.
Well done, my love. Lots of love. Good evening, good night.
Okay, bye.
Bye-bye, my love. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number Smart Beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number 1 in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 40% on the Sleep Number Limited Edition Smart Bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at Sleep Number stores or sleepnumber.com.
Normally, being a little extra might be a bit much, but not when it comes to healthcare. That's why United Healthcare's Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, supplement your primary plan so you manage out-of-pocket costs. Learn more at uh1.com.
This is Paige, the co-host of Giggly Squad, and I want to tell you about a company that I've been loving, Olive & June. Olive & June gives you everything that you need for a salon-quality manicure in one box. And if you break it down, it really comes out to $2 a manicure, which is absolutely insane. It's also so easy to get salon-worthy nails at home with Olive & June. The difference between how your nails used to look when you did them yourself and now with the Manny system is a complete game changer. The best thing about Olive & June, too, is it's a quick dry. It dries in about 1 minute, lasts for 5 days, and full coverage in up to 1 to 2 coats. Visit oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system. That's oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
A cautionary tale on Halloween. It was All Hallows Eve 2012, and parties were being planned. Teenage boys had bought their scary rubbery faces. In a suburb of Bolton, let's say Manchester, parents had stocked up on sweets, awaiting the arrival of children knocking on the doors. Trick or treat, they'd say. Trick or treat, for unsuspecting neighbours to state whether they wanted to give a treat or face the threat of a trick. Maybe an egg thrown at a window in jest, or the traditional dog shit and that through the letterbox, which isn't very nice, actually. Somewhere close by in this northwest area, a young medium sat. For him, Halloween was more than apple bobbing, sweet collecting and wasting police time with a variety of booze-fueled antics down the local park that invariably ends with some young person being hauled up in court for vandalism or whatever these people like to do on Halloween. No, for this medium psychic, let's call him Clayton, Halloween was a special time. Oh, and he was very much in demand. A local PTA at a school had contacted him for his special skills that night to tell true, terrifying stories of the spirits, to give readings and to contact the dead and that. Imagine then when the same woman who'd booked him, a Mrs. let's call her Mrs. Hayes, phoned Clinton to say that a certain other spiritualist, let's call him Maroon, had taken Clayton's place at the PTA and was claiming his £300 fee. There had been a mix-up, apparently, and though Clayton spoke to Maroon about it, he was ploughing ahead with the booking and cared not a jot that it was originally Clayton's booking. The wind howled in the trees. It was a full moon as this Clayton sat at his kitchen table, wondering why there was so much disloyalty in this world. It might have been his dark, dark mood, but doors seemed to slam on their own in his house. Window panes rattled. Maroon was out earning Clayton's money in that spooky night, and Clayton decided to place a curse on the blood-sucking Scottish medium. Clayton picked up a voodoo doll he had got during a cruise to Haiti when he worked a season with the Ocean Princess back in 2004, and doing a spell with all foreign mystical words in that, he stuck a pin in remote Maroon's lower regions. To what effect? Who knew? That night, Clinton phoned Maroon, who showed no contrition. All seemed fine, despite the curse and the pin he'd stuck in the doll. But the spirit world was with Clayton and was pretty unforgiving. That night, when Maroon returned from the school PTA gig, the spirits had wreaked their terrifying revenge. There was ectoplasm and some dog shit and that all over his doorknob on his front door. And the spirits had let down his car tyres and a couple of his pot plants had been kicked over his precious front porch, which he'd been bragging about since he got 15% off at Wicks. That'll learn him. Trick or treat, f***ing that. We go to line one now. We've got someone called Pierre. Are you phoning from France, Pierre?
No, from Bolton.
Bolton?
Yeah.
Yeah, slightly different. I mean, France is a land of croissants and...
Oh, yeah.
And, you know, art on the left bank. A beautiful... Hello?
Hello? Yeah,
well, that sound there pretty much sums up Bolton more than croissants and art on the left bank. A lot of cackling fishwives.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah, where are you? Witherspoons or something?
Just in West Orton in Bolton.
Oh, I know. Shithole.
Yeah.
Right, what you got to tell me?
Yeah, I was going to tell you a little story about from when I used to live in one of my first houses.
Yeah, can you actually try speaking to the fucking receiver?
Oh, sorry, can you hear me now?
Yes.
Can you hear me now? My old houses had a lot of secret passages. You could crawl from the bedroom to the kitchen and stuff like that.
It's an old house, was it?
It was an old nursery.
Right, go on.
It was nicknamed the nursery. We were told it was a bit haunted, but I didn't really believe it.
Right.
And as I was crawling through the spaces from the kitchen, I would often see this young figure, this little like ghostly figure, run across the passages away from me, and run towards me. And I thought I was the only one seeing it, but my brother also confirmed it as well. And with it being an old nursery, I wonder whether something about the spirit. I'm not believing myself.
Can you shut up? That person is making a noise, or is that a ghost?
Sorry, I don't know.
Can you hear that voice that came up just now?
No.
I heard someone making a noise. Now, it sounded like a woman. It didn't sound like a baby or a child or a toddler.
Oh, they're with you now?
They've gone now.
Oh.
Right.
Yeah.
And when was this? I mean, how old were you?
So I'd have been a 4 or 5 year old toddler.
And do you remember what the figure looked like? It couldn't be in your reflection.
Well, it seems like a little boy.
Yeah, maybe about your height, wearing the same clothes that you were. The same silhouette.
Maybe
your brother. Maybe the strange thing he saw was strangely in his silhouette as well, on the wall.
Maybe. Yeah, I've never really questioned that, really.
Just a minute, Pierre. How old are you now?
I am 25 now.
Right, so for 21 years, you've known about this, and you've never once wondered whether it was your reflection or the shadow.
I mean, I've wondered, but...
Only now?
It moved too quickly.
Did it move like a 5-year-old boy or a spirit, a dancing spirit?
It moved, well, I'm not as trained as you in the arts.
No, you're not.
Yeah, I don't know how the spirits move. Maybe you could shine a light on...
Yeah, shine a light. Yeah, I'm going to ask Tarawak. He wants me to shine a light. Tarawak is... Well, he's just having a Lambert and Butler. He just put it out, shrugged his shoulder, and he's saying... No, he's clueless. He's suggesting it might be your reflection. Now, I'm a big believer, as you say.
Yeah.
I like... Yeah, can you shut up that person in the background?
Yeah, I'm trying to shut him up. I'll move away from them.
Yeah. And he's saying that... He's shrugging his shoulders and he's saying it might be at that age you just saw your own reflection and your brother as well. And but
well,
what?
I've never seen a reflection run away from me so quickly before. You know, it was moving at some speed.
What, in a small sort of tunnel between one room and
the next? In a tunnel between my bedroom and my kitchen.
How?
And I've also seen it another day at the top of my stairs.
A what?
I saw something run across the top of my stairs.
Now you're just making things up to try and get me interested. you've never seen anything move. So, I mean, you come up with this half-baked story about a load of tunnels between a bedroom, and you sure you didn't dream all this?
It was called the nursery. We had tunnels from our bedroom to the kitchen, and it would just about fit me in. And I'd have a little crawl around, and I'd often see this ghostly figure run away from me.
Yeah.
I
know the feeling. And on that bombshell, we're going to say 3 out of 10, and thank you, Pierre. Give my love to Bolton. Stay off the wacky-backy. Good night.
Cheers, Clinton. Bye-bye.
This is an email from Gail. And it's all about a guy she met called David. Now, David is a brilliant fella. How can I put it? He was a bit of a fucking dullard as well, but he was clever. He's one of them type of blokes who knows all about technology. He's got a fancy Apple MacBook Pro. He's got a state-of-the-art Apple iPhone. He can tell you all the stuff you need to about downloading, internet cookies, iClouds, any of that stuff. Very boring. And as you expect, he's never had a girlfriend. A bore. Jesus, give it a rest, Dave. And then one day at work, he met Gail. Gail writes that she was working in HR in a major publishing house in the city. David has been sent up to the third floor by technical support to look at a hard drive, and they got talking. Somehow, David managed to rescue a file that she thought had been deleted by a virus, and oh boy, was she relieved. She didn't know anything about computers, to be honest. She was more into the English literature side, which is, you know, why she'd end up working in the world of books. My pleasure. Oh, it's wonderful, this piece of kit, this Apple desktop, said David as they chatted over a coffee at a workstation after he'd put it right. It's a Mac OS Mojave, Intel Core TM i5 processor, RAM 8 gigabytes, storage 1 terabyte Fusion Drive, graphics AMD Radeon Pro 570X 4GB. Retina 5K Ultra HD display, he said. Probably retails around £1,700, she drifted off. You know what? Apart from the glasses and the appalling halitosis, he's not bad, this David, she thought. Quite fanciful. If he wasn't banging on about computers the whole time. The beauty of it is the iMac 5K has basically been upgraded to give you all the power you need. You've got a fast processor, impressive AMD graphics, a beautiful Retina display. The 5K screen's incredibly detailed. It's the perfect screen for graphic design, editing photos and streaming. OK, she thought, that's enough, David. How can I steer it onto meeting up for a drink after work, she wondered. Well, you know, the RAM, as I say, is 8GB. No more, David, she thought. No more. The graphics, you've got AMD Radeon Pro 570X. And, sorry, just to say, it's 1 terabyte Fusion Drive. Shut the fuck up, she thought, wondering if it might well be a terrible waste of an evening to go out with him. Oh, forgive me, he said. Well, 1 terabyte Fusion, it's basically a terabyte, is a measure of a computer storage capacity, approximately 2 to the 40th power, or 10 to the 12th power. Shut up. Stop talking, she said to herself over and over until she wasn't sure if she'd said it out loud and had to ask him kindly to move away. She had work to do. He seemed to get the hint. Oh, I'm sorry, he said guiltily. I tend to get carried away with technology. I love Apple products so much. I'm obsessed with them. I live on my own and, well, I'm not great in social situations. I'd rather spend my time with my Apple Mac. And with that, he wandered off, embarrassed. Now, during the course of the afternoon, she mellowed. It was true, the computer had been saved. Pretty incredible. Worth his weight in gold. And you know what? She wanted someone reliable in her life, someone to love, to cherish life, art and literature with. And besides, she hadn't had a decent bunk up since August. So what if he loved computers? Some blokes were like that. Impulsively, she made her way down to the technical support rooms. She would go ahead and ask him out. She just hoped he'd forgive her for ushering him away. But as she approached the door to his office, something wasn't right. She could hear moaning, a table scraping rhythmically. David, she called out gingerly. Yes, he was obsessed with technology. He loved it, fixated by it. His eyes widened whenever it was mentioned. He was entranced by the power of technology and wanted to dedicate his life to it. He had said all this to her and there it was. To her horror, as she pushed the door open, she saw him. Overall down, trousers round his ankles, his knob thrust between the lid and the keyboard of his MacBook Pro laptop. He glanced round guiltily and in a panic instinctively thrust the lid of the laptop down onto his mushroom. Bang! Squashed. Nasty. In pain, he could only mouth, "Sorry," through the tears. She fled. It's a cautionary tale for any men who really are into technology and that, and, you know, it's a lesson. Get a fucking life. Get out and meet real people. And above all, don't love computers so much that you want to knob them. Well, thank you for listening. I think you'll agree it's been quite hair-raising, but also strangely comforting. Join us next time. And don't forget, if you do have a story you want to impart to us, contact us at this Patreon site. Thank you so much to all patrons. Goodbye. 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 Patreon.com/Clinton Baptiste.
Want flexibility? Take yoga. Want flexibility with your health insurance? Check out United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly medical, dental, and vision coverage that may be right for you. More at uh1.com.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And is all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Yeah, right. Clinton Baptiste here, offering you the chance to enjoy my Patreon podcast for free for 7 days. So many people have been joining me over there. It's a shame that you're not. We've got videos, cartoons, we've got all sorts of stuff, all the old back catalogue, and a chance for exclusive dibs on tickets before anyone else. Please come to patreon.com/Clinton Baptiste. All right, spirit fading now. See you there. Fading now.